Welcome to the OA Light a Candle Meeting podcast. Visit our website at oalaig.org, where you will find links to prior podcasts from this meeting available in multiple formats. The opinions expressed on the Light a Candle podcast are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. I would now like to introduce our speaker for tonight, Kiko.
I'm Kiko. I'm a compulsive overeater and a bulimic.
Hi,
guys. Lisanne was like, "Oh, no more emotion." I'm like, oh, "Well, we'll see how that goes." It's just so crazy. I'm gonna welcome you if you're new, Teresa and Bella. Look how it's going so far. And Kira, happy 1 year. It's just crazy. I don't realize how grateful I am for things until I'm, like, crying at the podium. The last year, just, like, having you always, like, pick me up for the meeting and then coming here and then going to the other meeting after, it's just, like, it's so dope. For sure, you getting a year is, like, the best gift that OA has given me, and, it's just amazing. And she asked me to speak. She's like, "Oh, for my birthday, you're speaking." I'm like, okay. I've never spoken here before. It's really cool. I mean, it's just so wild. Like, I think about this room and, like, I first came here when I was 17. And, I should say, my abstinent date is September 19th, 2020. Leslie is my sponsor. The L dog, like Kira was saying. I don't think she likes it very much when we call her that, but I love it, so I keep calling her. Me and Kira always joke about just the way Leslie, because we're both sponsored by Leslie, and it's just so fun. It's like, and her baby meeting is tomorrow, so we're all hyped. I guess if you're new, I just want to say, I have a lot of love for, like, myself and my life, and I just didn't even, like, it's all because of this, you know, like, this program. And like Kira was kind of saying, it's just crazy because I've been surrounded by program, like, my entire life. I did not know that my dad was gonna be here, but my dad and mom are here, and they're both a part of the beverage program, and I remember always being surrounded by that. And, like, I've had this stuff, like, all my life. Like, I've seen 12-step people, and, like, it's just so funny because I remember, like going to the, like, the sober parties, and they had, like, the best food, you know? Like, and the thing about me is, like, okay, I have just loved food since the start, like, since the very start. Like, I can't remember what your name is, even though you told me it, like, 10 seconds ago, but I can remember, like, the exact meal I had, like, in Nagoya, Japan, when I was, like, 8 years old with, like, I just, like, remember certain things like that, and I can remember every, like, I have photographic memory with food, you know, like, and I just, I don't know, like, I would just be so excited to go to these sober parties or any birthday parties for that matter, because I knew that there was gonna be food and cake, and, like, and I remember sometimes showing up to, like a birthday party or whatever, and then, like, if they didn't have, like, cake, or, like, if they didn't have good food, I'd be, like, disappointed, or, like, and I'd be, like, what is the, like, what did I even come for? Like, I remember thinking that as, like, a child, like, what did I even come for then, you know? And I just thought, like, everyone thought about food like that. Like, I really thought it was just, so, like, it's just, I just thought everyone else felt that way. And and I remember, I was thinking about Kira when she was taking Kendall. I was, like, dude, I remember, like, I remember when we were, like, she's my little sister, when we were, like, little siblings, and, like, you know, if there's, like, two slices of the pizza, it was always, like, no, that's my slice, it's bigger, I'm older. She's, like, no, I deserve more. And we would, like, fight over, like, who had, like, this much of, like, a bigger slice of pizza, you know? And it, like, mattered to me. Like, I didn't like when people took my food, but I always wanted your food, and, like, I just, yeah, and I've always loved, like, I've always had a sweet tooth, and, you know, this is just my story. This is just my perception, because, like, really, truly, like, my parents are amazing examples of the other program. And, like, really, really, truly, like, if love could cure any disease, like, you know, any bulimia, alcoholism, whatever, like, there's no way I would have, and, like, this problem, you know? Like, it really was just, like, I think I was born this way, like, because I remember always looking at, like, my mom, and she's, like, this really you know, like petite Japanese woman, and like me as like an 8-year-old thinking like, well, like I feel like my mom is littler than I am. Like, why can't I be that little? And like the more I grew, like the more I had that like perception where I was like, I don't know, like I've just always kind of been so obsessive about that and thought that like I wasn't enough or I wasn't like skinny enough, and like it's just my perception. And yeah, like I remember trying to diet like when I was also like in third grade for some reason, like the first diet I went on was like no sweets, you know, and like I thought like my thighs got skinnier and I was like, yay, you know. And I just want to say too, like I'm very, very, very bulimic, but before I even ever like tried to force myself to throw up for the first time, like I remember I would like just go to school, I would like not eat all day, so that like, and then like as soon as I got back from school, like it was like clockwork. Like I would go in, I would like turn left into the hallway that we have, and then there was that snack cabinet one like in there, and I would just grab everything, like pita chips, like anything I could, and then like go into my room and like just watch Breaking Bad and Game of Thrones and just like eat, you know. And like I would always find myself in front of the fridge, like I don't know why, but like I just open it, I'm like, wait, how did I get in front of the fridge, you know? And I'm just like looking in it because I don't know why, it's just like any sort of like hit off of that like that like dope, almost like the food dope. It's just, I've just always been wired that way, I guess. And like I remember I was like a really competitive swimmer in middle school, like super, super competitive swimmer. And when you're a swimmer, you like burn a bunch of calories. And like I was we had practice every day, every single day of the week, sometimes not on Sundays, but pretty much every day. And like I would just be able to eat so much, and I loved it. And I remember when I stopped doing club swim once high school hit, like I kept eating that much, but then like I was now gaining weight and I was like, oh no, you know, like, and I just remember I would go through these periods where like the more I would try to like restrict, the more I ate. Like it was like, and sometimes there would be periods where like I remember there was a 2-week period, which I don't even know if my mom knows this, but like I pretended to be sick because I didn't want to go to school. Like it was messed up. Like we went to like the urgent care and everything, and they're like, oh, you have a stomach bug probably. I was like, yeah, but I was just like totally pretending, because like I just hated, I didn't want to go to my chemistry class, and like I just couldn't handle it. And I remember like in order to convince her, I like didn't eat. And like for 2 weeks, I like didn't eat, and I like lost a bunch of weight, and I was like, yes, you know. And I was like, I like loved it. Like I remember doing a photo shoot with Bella's sister actually, and I was like, I look good. But then like the next 2 weeks following that, like I could not stop eating, and I gained all the weight back and more. And then I remember that was like the beginning of October, and then October on Halloween, like I purposefully would have like a Halloween party where I made everyone bring food, like it's a potluck party, so that I could like get more food, you know, like in my presence. And I remember I ate so much, and I was like, I need to do something about this. And like I decided to try throwing up, like that was the first time, and it like followed like a period of like just abnormal food behavior, you know, like significant abnormal food behavior. And so I threw up, and I just remember it just like I felt like lighter afterwards, and I was like, oh, like this is an option for me now. And then so for the next few years, like I would go through a period of like I would maybe like force myself to throw up, like, you know, usually at that point it was like maybe just like once a day, like for a couple weeks, and then I wouldn't do it for like 2 months, and then I would do it for like 3 weeks, and then I wouldn't do it for like a month, and then I would do it for a month, and then I wouldn't do it for like 3 months. And it just was like, whenever it like the weight got too much, and I was like, like I can't, you know, my body dysmorphia is like so bad too, it's like just gnarly like how bad it can get. And like I have to constantly remind myself of that. And nowadays, like I just try not to look in the mirror too often, because I'm gonna see things that I can see, like, I'm like, I know it's there, like my stomach, my chin, like, but it's like, it's like, I remember one time telling Leslie, like, oh, I just ate this, like, I just feel like I ate later in the day. And then like, now I wake up in the morning and I swear, like I've gained weight. And she's like, Kiko, it's like scientifically impossible to gain 10 pounds overnight. And I was like, I guess that's true. I was like, oh, so like, I have to keep telling myself stuff like that. And, but it was just so, it's always just been really bad. And at that time, I always was like standing in front of mirrors, like examining myself, like every component of my body, and hating every bit of it, or like just, you know, like critiquing every bit of it. And And finally what happened was, like, I was a senior in high school. I got my heart broken, like, really, really bad. And, like, the only coping mechanism I had was just my bulimia. And it went from, like, throwing up, like, you know, like, the way I described it, to, like, literally doing it, like, 5 to 15, almost, like, 20 times a day sometimes. Like, just eating whatever I could and then throwing it all up after. Like, and I remember I would just, like, ask my mom to, like, constantly make me food. And she's like, didn't you just eat? I'm like, Mom, like, I'm still hungry. Like, just please, can you just make this for me, you know? And I just wanted to be like, oh, because it's, like, just don't press me about it. Like, I just need this. And I just, like, I describe it, like, I literally feel high. Like, it's, like, that, like, self-harm that I inflict upon myself. Like, first, like, the sensation I get, like, the high I get from eating the food, and then the high I get from, like, putting myself through this, like, brutal process of, like, you know, I'm in front of the toilet, and I remember I would look at the mirror after, and my eyes would just be, like, watering and bloodshot, and I'd be like, yes, like, this is what I need. And it just got so bad, and I was so horrible to my family. Like, I was so bad, especially to Kira. Like, that's when I really started to shut her out. And I remember she would, like, come into my room, and she would just be like, hey, and I'd be like, what? Like, what, you know? And, like, and I know it's kind of, I guess it's a little funny, but, like, she would just be, like, wanting to ask me how my day was. And I would just be like, what? Like, it's just too much. Like, I just had so much misery in me, and I, like, took it out on her. And my parents, you know, like, and I was just totally delusional to it. Like, in my brain, it's like, I just can't handle this right now. Like, I can't handle life. And the thing about bulimia too, like Leslie says it too, is like, it's just very, like it's like very secret. Like it's, you know, like it's super secretive, and like, no one really knows that like you're doing that to yourself. It's just me and bulimia, you know? And I remember finally, I think like my parents were just like, what is going on with you? And like one day my dad actually walked in on me, vaping. Which, like, you know, I was 17, I shouldn't have been doing that. And I just looked at him, and he was like, and I was like, I just, like, broke down. And I was like, Dad, like, I don't know why it was this moment. Like, I don't know if I used it almost as, like, a means to be like, oh, hopefully this will excuse the vaping or something. But I was like, Dad, like, I can't stop throwing up. Like, I just keep forcing myself to throw up. I don't know if you remember that. Yeah, because I was like, please don't tell Mom. Like, one day later, my mom's like, Kiko, and I'm like, my dad has a big mouth, and my mom was just like, you know, I heard, Dad told me what, you know, what you've been doing, and honestly, this is kind of, I don't, my memory's, like, really foggy from this time. Like, the more I get into my disease, the less I remember, because I'm so, like, in here, like, I'm not present at all. You know, so this is just like kind of, I guess, my broken memory. But I remember she just basically brought up the fact that, like, hey, you know, like, there's someone I know who I'm sober with. Dude, what the hell? Who's in OA? And I remember being like, what's OA? And when she said Overeaters Anonymous, I was like, oh, hell. I was like, overeater, Mom? I was like, excuse me? I'm like, it, like, I remember feeling, like, disgusted. I was like, no, that cannot be for me. I was like, overeater, like, that's, and I forgot who, I think Bronte says it's, like, just so not sexy, you know, like, overeater, like, it's just not, you know? And she's like, but, you know, I talked to her, and she said, you know, it's this woman named Leslie, and she said you could call her. Like, do you want to talk to her? And I was like, I guess, you know, like, I just so did not want to talk to Leslie. Like, I, you know, I was just kind of like, okay. And then I was like, oh yeah, I guess, I don't know, maybe. And she's like, yeah, you can talk to her. Like, we can arrange a time, like, da 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 da. Like, my mom's all, you know. And I remember she was like, yeah, because, you know, Leslie's bulimic. And like, you know, you're also bulimic. And I also, again, like, almost gagged. And I was like, mom, don't say that. I'm not bulimic. Like, and it's just crazy, because it's like, at that point, I was throwing up, like, literally, like, 15 times a day on average. And like, I still, in my head, was like, no, I'm not a bulimic, though. I can't be a bulimic. You know, it's just like, it's really that delusion, like I have a disease that tells me like I don't have a disease, constantly. And it talks to me in my own voice. Like I named like that demon in me, like, okay, I named that demon in me like Ed, like ED. And I will like physically talk to Ed and be like, stop talking to me in my own voice. Like, get out of here. Like, get out, you know? Like literally, because I need to like sometimes just put, a name to it. 'Cause it's just so like, it's just cunning, baffling, and powerful. But anyways, so my mom, you know, she, like throughout the next week, I think she kept asking me, oh, do you want to talk to Leslie now or tomorrow or whatever? And I just remember like keep pushing it off. I just kept pushing it off as much as I could. And then finally, I remember she walked in my room one day. She's like, Kiko, I have Leslie on the phone. And I was like, oh, well, I guess I can't. You know, I was like, oh, okay. She's like, do you want to talk to her? And like, I'm a huge people pleaser. And also like at that point, like this is the thing about me too. Like even when I'm like really in my disease, like I still can like keep up a conversation. Like I can be social, I'm super extroverted. And so I was like used to being like, okay, like whatever, like I'll talk to Leslie. And you know, just say what's up or whatever. And like despite how horrible I was feeling, I could usually do that with people. And my mom's like, okay, here. And I remember I went into like the other room and I had Leslie on the phone and like Leslie was just like, oh, like, you know, hey Kiko. Like and she like she's like, well, you know, I don't need, like, again, broken memory, but basically I remember she started talk, like before she even started telling her story, I started to cry. And I was like, what the hell? Like, why am I crying? And because, you know, I was used to being like, oh, how's it going? I think she asked me how it was going. And I was like, good. And I like had to mute myself like multiple times throughout. Yeah, I guess Leslie remembers. Because I was like, I started hysterically sobbing. And she was telling her story. And I like identified. I was like, I don't even know. Like, to this day, it still trips me out that like, I think my spirit was like just dying so bad that finally, like, even though like my mind was telling me, I don't want to do this, I don't, you know, I'm not believing, blah, blah, whatever, like my like spirit almost like knew like this is what I needed. And so she told me her story, and of course I related to all of it. And she's like, so do you want to, you know, do you want to maybe meet me at the OA meeting on Saturday? And I was like, okay, I will. And like, that was finally what convinced me to go. Was just because like I had this reaction I wasn't expecting to have over someone 12-stepping me into OA. And I just, yeah, it's just the power of identification is just so crazy. Like, that's why I need this program. Like, I need to hear you guys talk about, you know, our disease. So, but yeah, and I came to the meeting. I came to this meeting. I remember, yeah, you guys were really nice. I don't even remember this, but my mom was telling me today, she's like, apparently I was like, she dropped me off because I still didn't drive. And I was like really, really nervous. And she's like, do you want me to go up there with you? And I was like, yeah, like, please. And she came up with me. I literally don't even remember that. Like, I was just so checked out. And I came here, and I remember Ore was the first speaker I ever heard. And then the next week after that was Rashad, which I think is kind of funny. And then it was this woman, a woman the week after. And I remember I was like, I kept going, but then like, I would like, you know, the next day I would like try to stay abstinent. And then the next day after that, like I would throw up. And like, I just like, I would kind of try. And like, Leslie was telling me to call her every day, because I, asked her to sponsor me. And I just remember being like, I don't know, like I came for about a month, I think a month of just like still coming, still throwing up. And then I remember it was, like a couple days after my mother's birthday, because her natal birthday, because we had cake and ice cream. And I remember I ate, like I had been abstinent that entire day. And I was like, okay, maybe this will be like day one. And then like there was this cake and ice cream and I decided to eat it. And I was like, okay, whatever, like I'll just throw this up and then like I can start over tomorrow. But I remember I ate that cake and ice cream and I was sitting on my bed And all of a sudden, like the voice, like there was this voice, like, you know, like once I decide I'm going to throw up, like I'm going to throw up, you know? And so that voice was speaking like, okay, you're going to throw this up. You're going to throw this up, you know, the voice of Ed. But then all of a sudden this like other voice like started to grow louder and louder that like had never been that loud before. That was like, no, like don't throw up. Like, don't throw up. And then, like, I remember sitting on my bed and all of a sudden that voice growing so loud that it felt like they were battling each other. And I was like, what? Like, why? What is going on? And then, like, all of a sudden, like, I remember I saw white light, like, fuzzy white light in my vision. And then the thought came upon me that I, like, never thought before, which was the reason why you're so miserable is because you are throwing up every single day. And, like, I was like, I just had not put it together at that point. Like, I didn't realize that, like, that those actions I was taking was, like, making me more and more and more miserable and, like, bringing me further and further down into a bottom. And so, like, I don't know why, but, like, I was struck abstinent in that moment with that thought. Like, oh, like, that's the reason why I'm miserable. Like, and then, like, I didn't throw up after that. Like, for, well, okay, so that was the moment I got struck abstinent. And thank God for that. And I remember I came to this meeting with 5 days of abstinence, literally 5 days. And I remember the other Leslie, like she said to me when I walked up to her, she's like, I can see your eyes. And like, I knew like exactly what she meant. Cause I knew like, you know, like I'd seen my eyes before. There was like nothing, like they just looked dead. And I'd been like looking at my eyes in the mirror and being like, why do I, you know, like I look alive. And just with 5 days abstinent, like she could tell. And like, I could see it in your guys' eyes. Like, you know, you can tell when someone's recovering well, cause they just have that like to them, you know? And so like, I was going to OA and I was not calling Leslie every day as much as I should have been. And, like, I think that being struck abstinent, like, really kind of kept me abstinent for a while because I think I got a little over a year abstinence, and I think I was coming to this meeting for, like, 9 months, and I did, like, the first two steps, and, like, I wrote the third step, but, like, I was very inconsistent as a sponsee, and, like, honestly, the reason why is, like, this is just my story, but, like, I was getting more into my alcoholism, and, like, for me, like, I was getting more into this other thing. And so like the more I was coming here, like initially I felt like really alive again. And I couldn't believe that I felt so alive and like so happy again. But then like after like, you know, getting more into my alcoholism, like I suddenly felt like I remember taking my 9 month chip here. This is what I remember. I think this is the last meeting I came to because I remember taking my 9 month chip here and sharing and trying to like share experience, strength and hope and like being like, I'm a fraud. Like, I'm not happy anymore. Like, I don't know, like, I don't know what's happened, but like all these people are doing well and I'm not anymore. And I'm like, but it's okay. Like, I know I'm never going to throw up again. I don't want to ever throw up again. And like, if I could have like been hooked to a lie detector test, I would have passed, you know, I would have passed when I said, no, I don't think I'm ever going to throw up again. I don't want to. Like, it makes me miserable. I know it does. Why would I? So I stopped going to meetings. I stopped calling Leslie. And I got further into my alcoholism. And then, like, I remember there was just this one day, like, a little after, I think I had, I had a year and 2 months of abstinence. And I think I just was, like, it was really bad. My alcoholism got bad. Like, I was living in my car. It was not pretty. And I, like, ate some pastries or whatever. And, like, this thought of, like, wanting to throw up was, like, coming up more and more. And then, I had like lived at my dealer's for a while and like I had no money. So I was like starving. And then, so again, like I starved, I lost weight. I was like, yes. And up until then I've been eating like, you know, 3 meals a day, kind of. And then, and of course, like after I'd been starving, all of a sudden, like every time I go to my friend's house, I'm asking if I can have some of their food, or every time I'm anywhere, like I'm stealing food from all these grocery stores now. And then like that weight came back and more. And then, that thought of wanting to throw up got louder and louder and louder. I was looking at my mirror. I was, like, I looked like I was gaining more and more weight. And then, finally, I just was, like, I was pacing in front of the toilet for 20 minutes. And I just decided to do it. And, and obviously, it didn't go well. Like, it picked up right where it left off. Exactly where it left off. I was just as gnarly with it. And then now it's, like, I couldn't even... Like, I'd lost, like, that moment of being struck abstinent, you know? And And like I hit a bottom in my alcoholism, so I went, you know, I went to rehab, and I remember thinking to myself, I'm like, okay, I know now that those diseases can be linked to each other, at least for me, so I should probably stop throwing up. Like, and I tried, and it was really hard. It was so much harder than the first time, and I was like, I remember being angry at myself, being like, dude, like, I don't think I'm gonna be able to stop throwing up again, because I lost that initial abstinence where like I had that white light experience. Like, how am I gonna stop again? And like, you know, in rehab, they like feed you, like the rehab I went to, you know, they have the personal chef and they have all these crazy foods. So it's like, dude, like people call it like the rehab 15, like, you know, there's a freshman 15, rehab 15. And like, and they even say like in AA, sometimes they're like, oh, you know, when you're a newcomer, just have a bunch of sugar. And I'm like, well, not me, dude. Like, you know, like I can't, you know, just fuel myself with sugar. Like everyone was just eating snacks at all times. And I was like, oh my God, like it was so hard. And I started trying to go to OA meetings, and there was this one counselor there named, named May. And May was also an OA. And I would talk to her the most about like what was going on with my food and how I could stop throwing up again. And she, like, I remember saying to her, I'm like, May, I just, you know, I'm trying so hard. Like, you know, I want to stop again, but I can't. I don't think I'll ever be able to stop again. Like, and, you know, I'm doing, you know, I'm trying to do OA meetings and stuff and blah, blah, whatever. And then I don't know why, but she just said to me, she's like, have you really tried 100%? Like, 100%. You've given it your 100% with this, you know, the OA thing. And, like, I don't know why, but I was like, I guess not. Like, and it felt like I'd been trying so hard, you know, but like really 100%, had I been giving it my all? Like, no. And so she's like, why don't you just try giving it 100% for 2 weeks? And I was like, okay. And so I did that. And that's what finally got me abstinent again. That was September 19th, 2020. And so I did an OA meeting like every day for the first 30 days, and like, it was really hard obviously because there's like so much good food at rehab. So like, I remember just having to like pack myself a dinner to, I had to do a lot of work around that because I was constantly surrounded by people who were like, oh, just eat, you know, whatever. Like, and like, I couldn't do that, you know? Like I was kind of using May as a sponsor at that time, honestly. Like I was checking in with her about it. And yeah, and then eventually, like, I got out of rehab, and, like, every now and then when I would, like, have the feelings of, like, the food come up again, I would just, like, go to an OA meeting, but I wasn't consistent with it, and I think it got to the point where I was going, like, once a month, and I think I had about 9 months, and I remember there was at one point where I was thinking to myself, I'm like, okay, Kiko, like, what are you doing? Like, you've done this before. Like, you've stopped going to meetings before, or you've, like, dwindled off before, and you ended up relapsing. Like, what are you doing this thing again? Thanks, Benora. And I remember I hopped onto the meeting that day, and I'd been thinking about Leslie. I was like, dude, I gotta call Leslie, you know, like, and I hopped onto that meeting, and Leslie was speaking, and I was like, okay, God, like, I see you, you know, my God is very loud. And I finally asked Leslie to sponsor me again, and, it's been a beautiful ride. I will say that, like, my God, I remember when, like, this meeting came back in person, and she was like, you gotta be here every week. And I'm not gonna lie, I was so resentful at this meeting for a while. Like, I'm like, 5:30 p.m. on a Saturday, like, and I would always fall asleep in this meeting, and Leslie would be like, you. Like, I'm trying, I swear, I'm trying so hard not to fall asleep, but I would, like, every single time, and I just was like, I'm like, how come I always have to come, you know? But I came every week, and, like, it's just so funny the way Leslie is, and just, her wisdom is just, like, I feel like she's iconic in, like, the most subtle way, you know? Like, truly, like, she doesn't try to, like, you know, she's not trying to show it to the world, like, she just is. And if you're new, get a sponsor. It's just, like, I don't know what's best for me. Like, my best thinking gets me nowhere, you know? And I need the voice of, like, someone else, like, to tell me what's actually going on. And this meeting, though, like, it really, really helped me when I started taking on, like, bigger commitments. Like, I remember when I was program chair for this meeting, it was so stressful, But I remember at that point, like, because I was doing program chair and, like, always trying to get speakers for this meeting, like, I thought way less about, like, my body. Like, and that was what was really hard. Like, especially the first year, like, I mean, the first couple years, like, my mind was just so loud about my body. And also, like, if you're new and if you're, like, I guess from my experience as a bulimic is, like, I was scared I was going to gain weight because I was going to, like, stop throwing up. But I have been the same weight since I stopped throwing up. Like, I fit in all the same clothes. Like, it's like, I've had 3 meals a day. My abstinence is no throwing up no matter what. And then I eat 3 meals a day. I send it to Kira and I send it to Leslie. And, like, I don't know. Like, if that's your fear, you know, like, that's not what happened to me. And I've heard that happening a lot in the rooms. And yeah, and it's just like, how do I say this? Okay, I will talk about this real quick because like I would suggest doing all the things that you hear people talk about at the podium. Like, you know, you hear the same things over and over. And a lot of times I think the reason why like OA works is because, like, and going to meetings works is because we hear the same things over and over and over again. And eventually I feel like it just kind of like sticks in your head. And so, like, when you are going through a moment, like, you can kind of pull from all these tools that you've been hearing from, you know? And I just want to say, like, you know, my sister and I were half Japanese, and we started a bilingual OA Zoom meeting because so that we can, you know, like, bring you guys, like, you American speakers, so that they can get more exposed to, you know, our recovery, because it's just like, you know, in Japan, it's like the culture is that, like, no one talks about it. And it's just like, it's nothing like we have here. And a lot of it is thanks to my mom. Like, she's helped us so much. She's, like, literally the translator for the meeting, and she does so much work. I do not know how she does it. Like, but it's been so cool because, like, now I have 2 OA sponsees in Japan. And I remember I was having a moment where, like, one of them, she was reading her third step to me, like, on Zoom. And I just remember thinking, like, this is crazy. Like, this girl is in Tokyo and she's Zooming me, like, or FaceTime or whatever, like, and reading her third step to me. Like, and I think there's just moments that, like, I find make it so worth being abstinent. Like, it's just so worth being abstinent, and it doesn't come right away. Like, it's not instantaneous. Like, I love instantaneous, like, solutions, you know? Like, I love just, like, eat, yeah, like, throw up, yeah, like, right away, you know? But, like, with OA, it's, like, it's slow, you know? It's, like, it's not, like, it's gonna come as quickly as, like, maybe the food did, but that's, like, you know, the food thrown up, that's, like, temporary solution. Like, this is way more permanent. And I have a lot of love for myself. Like, I never thought I would love myself. Like, I thought I could, like, be a professional in the career of self-hatred, truly, with how much I hated myself. Like, I hated everything about me. And now, like, I genuinely love myself. Like, and that is really a miracle for me. Like, I did not think that you could be that okay with yourself, and I am. So I'm really grateful for you guys, and I can't believe I started coming when I was 17. I got abstinent again at 19, and now I'm 22, and I feel like sometimes, like, the luckiest 22-year-old in the world because of you guys. So yeah, thanks. I guess questions. If there's any.
Can you talk a little bit about your relationship with your higher power and how it's evolved?
Yes. Okay. I'm going to repeat the question. can you talk a little bit about your higher power and your relationship with your higher power throughout your journey? Yeah. Okay. Thank you, because I didn't really talk about that as much as I should have. I realize, like, God is, like, I call my higher power God. God is, like, everything. Like, there is nothing that's more powerful than my compulsive overeating and bulimia, you know? Like, really, there's nothing except God. Like, that's why it's, like, you know, I've tried, in the beginning, like, I would just pray when I was, like, usually really going through it. And I remember, like, doing, you know, my, Leslie was the one that started telling me to, like, you know, I have to pray, like, every day. Like, in the morning when you wake up, ask God to help you. In the bed, when you go to sleep at night, thank God for keeping you abstinent. And so I started doing that every day. And, like, I don't know. I have found that the people that are recovering, like, well, are the ones that are the closest to their higher power. Like, and I remember that was a revelation for me because I was at a big book study and one of the questions we got was, oh, who's recovering well? And, if, like, I was, like, putting, you know, obviously Leslie and, like, certain people. And then, like, one of the things was, like, what are they doing that's working? And every single one of them had something to do with how close to they were, like, they were with God. And it was kind of like a revelation for me. I'm like, oh, so that's the answer. Like, I got to get, like, closer to God. And, like, and then Leslie, you know, at that time, she would just never shut up about this thing called two-way prayer. And so I finally was like, okay, I guess I'll try it. And I remember I was sick, and she's like, here, you can watch the video now. Like, it's 41 minutes long. Just watch it while you're sick. And, like, I watched it, and then I, like, did it at the end. And basically, it's like you, like, read some, you know, guided literature, I think is what they call it, in the morning. And then you write a letter to God, and God writes you back. And since doing that, I think I'm on a day 123 of doing it every day. And that has, like, just taken my relationship with a higher power to, like, a whole new level. Because it's like I am, like, constantly trying to just live in God's will. You know, like, God brought me to OA and God gave me abstinence, you know. And that's, like, I'm so overpaid. Like, the fact that, like, I have all these things in my life, like, and I live a good life and I'm, like, pretty good with my self-image, and I have, like, connections with Kira again. Like I said, like, I, for a while, I felt like I ruined our relationship, like, because I was so horrible to her, like, when I was really, really bulimic, initially, and now it's, like, we've been calling, like, almost every day, like, the last month or so, I don't know, so it's, like, it's just, yeah, so I just try to live in God's will, and I really, like, I'm good with God. Like, I'm always like, God is good, I love God, and I probably annoy some people, but that's just how I feel. Like, I love God, and I think God is the answer. So, yeah. Is that it? Oh.
Peter? Oh. What rules do you give yourself for balancing your two programs?
Oh, okay, the question is, what rules do you give yourself for balancing the two programs? Damn. Let me think about that. I mean, okay, so I go to a good amount of AA meetings. And I remember talking to Leslie about this too, I think, because, you know, I always come to this meeting, pretty much always. Leslie, don't give me that look. But I feel like I do come, like, you know, like 95% of the time, right? I think I do. I do, you know. And but then also, like, if I miss this meeting for something, like, I make it up with another OA meeting during the week. How do I balance it? That's a good question. But then also, because I go to AA, like, so much, like, I do hear the message, you know, and, like, you know, it's good just in general to, like, hear people talking about, like, same stuff, you know, 12 steps, higher power, like, kind of their story. Like, you know, maybe sometimes you can replace, like, alcohol for, like, food, or just in general, like, disease with, like, you know, multiple diseases. But, like, for me, I do find I have to come to OA. Like, I have to. Like, it's different. Like, you know, alcohol, drugs, whatever, like, you can just, you know, you stop that. Like, sort of, like, it's a once and for all type of thing. But then, like, with food, I have to eat food every single day. So I need the identification. And how do I balance it? I mean, for a time, I had an AA sponsor and an OA sponsor, which was Leslie. But now Leslie is both of them. I don't know can I say that? Okay, thanks, Leslie. Leslie's like, I don't know. She's like, oh, God, just get down from the podium, Kiko. But, you know, I don't know. It can be hard, but I think it definitely can be done. Like, I do hear, you know, sometimes people will be like, oh, it's, like, hard. And I'm like, I mean, yeah, but, you know, it's doable. Like, you can do it if you do it 100%. At least that's my experience. So, yeah. Is that it? Am I done? Yeah? Yeah, I'm done. Okay, thanks.